through the tape machines. Dear Marcia, this is Stella, Elizabeth, John, Keith, Rush. The whole family's here, including Sue, Bill Meyer, Beck. Sue's back at the hospital making telephone calls. It is now exactly 18:50 by my watch, which I think is a few minutes fast. And what is that, 13:14? That's a 5. That's 6:50 going into 7. I'm on my way home here. Oh, yes, it's October the 8th, the witching day. The moon is but a sliver of its former self, and this guy's backing into me, which isn't thrilling me a whole bunch. Oh, good, you twit. If you had a brain, you'd be dangerous. We're trying to get on the freeway here. I just pulled into this. You're going to have to put up with trivia here till I get my head screwed together. And I'm driving safely with one hand, or two when necessary. Down here at the Orange Shopping Mall, something like that. A mile or two from the hospital. Sandy, Helen Jane Sandal, she hates Jane. That's too bad. It's a pretty name. Is in the hospital, theoretically overnight, for a CAT scan. Because she has all the appearances, even to the doctor, of having suffered a very small stroke. However, this condition is not inconsiderable in the danger to her life and my sanity. This tape is confidential. With any luck at all, it will self-destruct after you have listened to it. Although it's so cheap, I doubt if it will be kind enough to do that. Well, the cars are getting very pissed. They're sitting looking at a red light that's never changing. Well, let's see here now. Back to the saga and the odyssey of Helen Jane Sandoz and Stella Elizabeth John Keith Rush. John and Keith were only recent additions. So far as my knowing about these two aspects of my personality, they're about 1967, maybe. You know, and Keith came along about a year or so later because I couldn't get any work out of John. I had to get some work out of somebody. So, but I diverge and run tangents. And I'm not getting across this damn street. I'm going to have to make a right turn against my better judgment. Hold on. Sing you my new song here while I'm screwing around with the traffic. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You don't count your money when you're sitting at the table. Time enough for counting when the dealing's done. I'm sure that from an asthmatic, off-key, whatever. That sounds terrible. I'm sure of it. And I can't run it back here. So I made a U-turn in the damn street. We're going to get to the 55 freeway. And with any luck at all, we will not die on the 55 freeway. This is a new car. It's got lots of pep and joy. And we want to live at least another 10 years, I think. At least 10. What the hell we're going to live on is going to be another matter. Doctor, while I was left the scene. I'm not giving you a coherent picture. Oh boy, let me back up. Okay, Marcia. I ran that back and the freeway's sailing. Straight sailing. I don't think that's the right word, but that's the best I got. Coherent picture. Sandy had appointment with Dr. Flattar for 4:15 today. It was a major operation. Oh boy. Well, I haven't had a stroke, but overstress isn't doing much for my head connecting with my words either. Man, this is disgusting. Okay. That's just asthma. Don't worry about it. I'm going to have to start writing down times and hours and stuff for pills. Because last night, there goes another tangent, damn it. Anyway, I haven't been able to sleep worth a damn. And even one Taractin, when I finally found the goddamn little things, pardon me, the sweet little darlings, one Taractin gave me something like 1 hour of sleep. Now, a Taractin, which goes with the Desiril, or which goes by itself, is normally good for, well, back in the old days, 4 hours, let's say. So, 4 to 6, depending on whatever shape I was in. So I tried 2 Taractins there. Found the bottle. Haven't been able to get to my doctor. She canceled on me yesterday. She was sick. Doctors have a right to be sick. At the time, I was in such bad shape, I was sure she'd cancel on me because she didn't want to see me. That's how good a shape I was in. Couldn't have been any other reason. You know, I mean, I kicked her damn wastebasket. And the wastebasket complained, and she said, well, I mean, if you can't stand still, what can we do? And the wastebasket said, well, cancel her, you fool. You know, I don't want to see her again. And Dr. Carroll said, fine. Actually, Dr. Carroll has a strep throat, and didn't need to see me yesterday anyway. I need to see her, but she didn't need to see me. And she's off still today, and they expect her tomorrow, and I said, that sounds terrible. And her secretary said, well, she says she won't be infectious or catching then. I said, whoopee, how about her? That's not good. Strep throat, come back in 3 days? Hell with that. I said, well, she sounded pretty good. Oh, okay, fine. You run your business, I'll run my business. I didn't say that, of course. I mean, there is this committee up here that is talking all the time, sometimes all at once. Aha. I got to some kind of a meeting this morning. Did I know? I got there 5 minutes late for everything. So the girl that I wanted to see real bad, if she was there, I didn't get to see her. And then I went to see my sponsor, and my sponsor wasn't going to be in for 2 hours. She was having a dental appointment. Everybody has got troubles. I did get to see her son, and I did get to see one of her co-workers, who is also an AA. Very, very lovely young woman. Beautiful, beautiful young woman. Now I don't remember what I was saying. Anyhow, Sandy had this appointment, 4:15. And, I am in such great shape that I am totally bogged in trivia. I apologize. Reading the crap is one thing. Having to listen to it is another, because that takes a lot more time. It takes as long to listen as it does to speak it. Whereas reading, your eyes goes room, you know. I understood that with Thane. He just hated people to send him tapes because he didn't have that much time. He never did. Letters he could scan. He could read all of them, he could scan them, he could do whatever. A tape is hopeless. So I apologize, and I love you. And I know you love me, or you would have thrown me out a long time ago here. What the heck? I better shut this thing off and try to collect the thoughts again. Okay. Monday night, I talked to Sue Beck. Bill Myers, her professional name, on her job. And so I get confused as to which one to use. Beck is shorter. It's also her married name, and I'm very old-fashioned. If I were married, unless I had a... Well, Sue did. Apparently she had some kind of a reputation established as Bill Meyer in her field and her clients. And, that's neither here nor there, is it? I tried to get the washing done this morning. I forget what happened. I didn't get it done. I haven't got it done for 3 days. I've been carrying the damn clothes around in my car, I think, since Sunday. That's 4 days. I'm having a hard time breathing. I'm overdue on asthma pill. I mean, and I took the asthma pill, but it takes it a long time to get moving when you take it too late in the game. And I tried the breather thing, and so I am breathing. That's perfectly clear, I am breathing. And, oh boy. God damn it to hell! Oh gee, sorry tape machine, sorry God. Sorry hell. Anybody else here I need to apologize to? Do God, you motherfucking cocksucker, come down here and let's do it one-on-one. Stop nitpicking me to death. I can't take no more of this shit. Only I will. I just know that God is going to go into overdrive here any minute, and he's going to put a special little pipe net line down for me. And yes, indeed, you can take it, and you'll be fine, and you don't have to do it under your own power, sweetie. That's what it's all about. As Jesus said when he did the healings, and he said, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And he said, call me not Lord, Lord is the Father within that doeth the works, and I'm about to go down the San Diego freeway. That's not a good idea at all, Stone. You can't see Mary Jane Hartel tonight. Sorry about that, dear. I know you'd love to, but it's late. And we got to get back with Sandy's books. Now, I guess that brings us into the present again. This is like Progoff's journal writing, I think, is what's going on here. In flow of consciousness. Warp. Hold it. 55 down the ramp onto the 405 North, yeah, that's right. Good, good. San Diego, God, it takes forever to get off it if you get in the wrong lane and get onto that. You end up down at Fashion Island or something. That's a mean one. Sue was going to go home and get Sandy's books, and I thought, God, that's insane. And I let her tell Sandy all that junk. Oh, boy, okay, I won't. I won't. What the hell? The whole freeway is sealed over right here at Bristol. Aha. Be back in a trice, as my love Sandoz would say. Hold on. Testing. Using new mic. Safer driving. Rollback. Okay. I re-listened to that, but to try to roll it back again and find the end of that, I'm not going to do it. It's working. Back down the 405 south to San Diego. Passing spot that I was stuck at for 3 hours the first week in January. That's when it started. Happy New Year. Challenges galore. All you ever wanted to know about urban living and were afraid to ask. Now, where the hell are we? We're heading for the 55 North. At this point, I'm talking to keep my head. Oh, they're upset. I'm only going 55 in the slow lane. I'm sorry, baby. I don't think a cop can get me for that. He might, though. Well, I'm doing 60. They're still passing me. That cop that got me when I was doing 35. I was going with the flow, I said. Didn't you see him passing you? Well, even if I had, it wouldn't have meant anything. They pass you in the slow lane doing 55 and 60. So I was doing 35. Wonder I wasn't killed. That was the night that my, when was that? Well, it was a day or so after I fell off the stool because due to all that shit, the rearview mirror got torn off when the guy that was helping me took me to my car to get my possessions out of it because I didn't want my boss's boss, Pam, and her friend to see what a hell of a mess my car was. I mean, she's very neat. She's a supervisor. She's very cool, she's very collected, she's very proper. She also told me to get out of the building a day or so ago. Make my phone calls elsewhere. It wasn't quite like that. That's gross misreporting. Well, off on another tangent, I'm sort of raveling here to keep my eye on the freeway. Whatever that thing is Gerald Hurd used to talk about, that scanner, whatever. And one hand firmly on the doodad, steering wheel, left hand on this dear little mic, which is better than holding the whole tape cassette critter. Whatever you call that thing, I can't think of it. He's running up my tailpipe. All right, already. Shit. Okay. Unfortunately, turning off the mic does not turn off the damn machine. So I don't know whether it stops the tape or not. I don't remember. It's been too long ago. Remember when I did all that good stuff? 1981, I think it was. Yeah, in there. Anyway, I got it set on my personal, my boot set, John's boot set on personal cruise control. 60 here. A lot of space between me and the next car. Middle lane, so I don't get siphoned off into these death traps out here. Now, good. I've forgotten what I was saying. But if you drive, you can stick this in. You can stick it in your tape cassette there, and maybe you can call. Consider this a October the 8th stand-up comedy routine. That's about what it's good for. Oh, good. 65 without a whistle. Okay, that's what they're doing. That's what the flow is doing here in the middle lane. Matter of fact, they're pissed and they're passing me on the left. But if this freeway sealed over like that one did back there, man, oh, two little cars all screwed up. All smashed and bent and severely inconvenienced for the evening, probably the next few months. That kind of damage to your car and probably also you. boy. Now, this is an experience, Marcia. It really is. All of it. It's good to be alive. I want to live a long time if I'm no worse shape than I am now. And even if I am, the cancer therapy groups I've gone to, all of the AA meetings and ACA meetings and ISA meetings. I haven't gone to a hell of a lot of those, but I've gone to enough of them. Maybe, hell, I don't know. Take a guess. Probably no more than 10. It's very difficult to get to under the circumstances of the timing of it. They have been very revealing to me. ACA is really good. Al-Anon, I can't seem to hack. They got good stuff, but I can't seem to hack it. I'm an alcoholic. Such as it is. Tiniest one in captivity. But I have a defect. I don't think it's a defect, but for dealing with them, it's a defect. I don't know how to talk about the fucking problem without talking about the fucking problem. When I go to an Al-Anon meeting, it's because Sandy's drinking. Because it's about to make me go crazy and kill her or drink myself. Or whatever. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how to talk about it without saying that. I mean, that's against the rules. Alcoholics, who are also Al-Anons, are called double winners. And depending on the meeting, at least the ones I've been in, I understand there's some that are mostly alcoholics, so you don't have any trouble talking about your feelings and what you're about to do with them. But the straight Al-Anon shit, cancel that. They're good people. Very, very good people. That's a no-no. That scares them. I've had input from two Al-Anon ladies who went AA after X number. Yeah, maybe they got bored. I don't know. But they finally saw themselves as much alcoholic as their husbands, and then they switched over to AA and had a whole new feel to, what's the word? I'm having as much trouble as Sandy finding my words. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. This occasional word thing here with me is nothing like the trouble she's having. But it reminds me of that. What was I saying? Damn. Hey, there's a horse. Look at that. Beautiful, beautiful horse being lugged behind a pickup truck, something like that. Beautiful thing. White. Very pretty. I think there's something going on between me and horses these days. It's on a spiritual level. Very weird. I mean, what bizarre. What do I know? I've got this big lust for horses these days. Hell, the only thing I can think of on that is when I was a little tiny child, a little bitty kid, about 2 years old, something like that. There was a picture taken of me on a great big horse. And of course, I was too little to ride the horse. Without somebody held me in their arms, I couldn't have ridden that horse all by myself. But I think my Uncle Nelson, whom I love so much, had put me up on the horse. When I was sitting up there looking very proud and perky, and I liked the horse, and the horse liked me, and in those days when I couldn't speak very good English, I mean, I spoke real good horse, and we got along fine. And I petted his coat, touched his mane, and petted his little nose. I guess it was a pretty big nose at that time compared to me. And he nickered and neighed and did all that nice stuff that horses do when they're just as happy as if they had good sense. Anyhow, that was a great big federal case of the many federal cases that I had when I was a kid. And it would probably make a good routine in this stand-up comedy that my mother and I had going for 21 to 42 years when she was stricken severely. Committed. That's severely stricken. Anyhow, this horse and me, see, we had this thing, and I was going to ride him. My uncle was going to hold me in his arms, and I was going to ride him. I think actually what happened, that's a long time ago. I was about two. It may have been for my birthday, which I remember very well. No, I don't think so. That was another time. Anyhow, I think he was leading the horse around the yard, or was going to, and I was hanging onto the horse's mane, and I was just as happy as if I had good sense, too, at the time. And my mother came out and got hysterical and made him get me off the horse and told him not to ever do a terrible thing like that again. And I was just a little tiny child, and my God, I could get hurt. You know, heaven forfend, I should get hurt. Anyhow, she was very protective. And that's what I remembered of my mother, overprotective, smothering, suffocating. And frankly, that is worse. That's worse than being beaten half to death once or twice. Because the overprotection on top of that, God damn, I am self-obsessed. I hope I make a good sponsor one of these days. I got all kinds of good shit to share with people who think that they're the only one that are terminally unique. Aha. Well, anyway, me and a horse. This was a big deal to me. And I've thought about it a lot. I haven't thought about it recently, but when I thought about it, when I was doing analysis with RG, and when I thought about it when I was writing in my earlier years, for somehow or other, me and the horse kept coming up, horse and I. All these vocabularies roaring around between these four aspects that I am. Anyway, I felt a very great loss about the horse. Not getting to ride him, not ever getting to ride a horse again, as a matter of fact. And so long as I was with my mother. And it wasn't like we bred horses on the farm, but I know the thrill that used to run through me when we would go up to Lexington, which was 22 miles away. There were relatives and friends in Lexington, just a spit away, although it took a while in those days to drive it. My mother never drove over 40 miles an hour in her life, I don't think. That was the speed limit so far as she was concerned. And when we go cross country, you know, between California, Kentucky, Kentucky, California, and sometimes she would have a couple times, well, once, hell, I don't remember, but once I remember this young guy, I remember at least two guys on two different trips. It just went bananas with the fact that my mother would start irking and pecking and niggling and nitpicking on them when they got over 40 miles an hour, and they just knew that California or Kentucky, whichever way we were going, was going to be a long damn way away. Great Scotty. The cars would go faster than that then. We're talking about anywhere from, whoops, here we go. Oh, hang on. Here I come. I don't know how many miles it is to Kentucky. I think it was something like in the neighborhood of 2,000 miles. The nation is about 3,000 stem to stern. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I'm sure that it's in that range, 2,000, 2,500, something like that. And it took a long time, but she, you know, and I like her slow but steady, dedicated, stubborn. Taurians have this quality, although I think everybody does. God, show me somebody who isn't stubborn about what they believe, what they think, what they were raised to believe. Show me somebody who isn't. Some base canard. Anyhow, she was only a nitpicking Virgo, but she was very stubborn. And I was only a whatever Taurian that I am. And I was very stubborn. And I used to drive her up the wall. Because I think it was after I started to talk that she had all the trouble with me. I think she, it isn't like she didn't love me. She did. You know, possession is three parts of the law. She loved me. But I don't call possession love. But I think that when I was a little tiny baby, from all I've read of books, that she was the kind of woman that probably was good with babies. The short time that they have to put up with mothers. You know, little babies can't talk back a lot. I mean, they may cry and scream and tear their hair that they don't have. I didn't have any. But they can't ask existential questions and screw up your head. They can throw the bottle across the room, but that's about the extent of it. They can refuse to drink their milk like I did. I did that. Well, shit, switched the nipple on me. God damn it, I was used to a black one, and my father went out and got a red one, and because the black one was broken, or busted, or you name it. And apparently, it was the only major tantrum she could remember me having, because I was apparently a very good, lovable, sweet, innocent, if any baby's innocent, being as how we have this thing with past lives, there's probably not too many innocent babies coming into the world, but, however, I was a lovable little kid, from all reports, but, what am I doing here? Great Scott, I don't believe this. Some kind of driving catharsis that I'm doing. I don't know whether I can sing this damn thing or not. Hiccups. Pardon. Horse. Millennia, I've been having this thing running with horses. I saw these beautiful horses up at the Mojave Desert. Silver Saddle Ranch and Club, they have a stable of horses. They got acres of horses, most of them theirs, for the members to ride, to rent, whatever. I'll have to find out how much that is. Sandy is not at the hospital this weekend. Maybe I can go up there. I have a feeling she won't get out under 2 days, but I don't know. The dumb doctor. He's not a dumb doctor. He's a not very nice doctor, but I mentioned about her not being able to eat, that she needed to be in the hospital a couple of days so she could get the eating cycle back. And he snapped. Well, he didn't snap at me. He just said, that's not what hospitals are for. Well, I couldn't say anything without getting Sandy upset. And Sue was there. It was a tiny room, and I didn't want to make big waves, but I was pissed. And, well, whoopee! Now, what the hell are they for? Well, I didn't say that, but I did say that, well, that may be true, but if she doesn't eat, she will get very ill, which she already is, and then you'll have her back as a patient. Ta-da. He ignored me. I went about his business, and I went around the reception area a couple times and made 2 phone calls, one to physical therapy, where I had forgotten to go have my treatment this morning, or to phone in and tell him I couldn't. I forgot all about it. And one to my psychiatrist, who isn't back yet. But fortunately, I called about 12 minutes to 5, and I was lucky to get anybody, and I got her secretary. So I was out of the room a couple times. Neither of those I was out of the room 3 times. The third time, I missed the doctor. When I came back, while they were getting her out of the room and getting ready to put her into 607. Room 607-13. My head is awash here. It's just going every damn direction of the century. I'm now parked in Kaiser Permanente Hospital lot, and it's 2044. That's nice. That means that it's 8:44, and that 8:30 meeting has been going for 15 minutes. I don't think I better try for it. Because the last time I was there that I tried to talk, I made the mistake of talking first. Nobody wanted to talk, so I talked first. The leader was a young thing, and she took 30 minutes instead of 10. The hostesses, whatever, you know, whatever lesbians are. Nobody called the kid down, and I was grateful that nobody did, because she would have been devastated. She had agonized over this damn leadership thing and telling her story in 10 minutes. And had a terrible time with it for 2 weeks because of the rain washout. Anyhow, nobody wanted to talk, so I raised my hand, and I got going on a roll, apparently, and hell, I don't know what I took. 10 minutes? You're only supposed to take 3 to 5. So I probably did 10 minutes, and one of the hostesses, who has apparently been ill a lot lately, and I haven't seen her at the meetings, and is a really good person. They have a fabulous place where they live here. I mean, a very, very expensive, fabulous place. Anyhow, she said, Stan, could you wrap that up? You know, this is not a speaker meeting. Oh, I said, oh, sure. Do you mind if I finish the sentence? She didn't say a damn thing, so I took that to mean she did mind if I finished the sentence, but I finished the damn sentence anyway. And that's something I don't tolerate easy. Because it's happened to me a lot lately. I either can't talk at all, well, it's happened to me several times lately. after a period of not being able to talk at all. And then when I could, somebody else would go 5 to 10. That was okay. I would go 5 to 10. It wasn't okay. I don't know, God's trying to tell me something, but I haven't figured out what yet. So I better not risk that tonight, because I don't, first place, I'm going to be late. I got to get these books up to Sandy. I got to get back down here. What's that going to be? Pardon me while I figure this out. Okay, testing with the mic again. The attached one. Okay, testing with the unit mic to see the difference. Over. Okay, unit mic is better. I'll just hold this little mother in my left hand and puppy or whatever it is the kids are talking. God, and there's puppies, and I forget. That's good. That's adorable. Well, I forget what the other animal is that's not. I just walked into the club with all my paraphernalia, and this idiot boy says, "Are you a reporter?" And I stood there and laughed helplessly. And I said, "No, I'm not a reporter." I should have told him I was making notes for a personal book and not to worry. But I was too tired and I didn't think of a good one. Because I guess I'm not up on the state of paranoia here. So old Harold came around the bend and he hugged me and patted me on the shoulder and ambled on, and I said, "Harold, tell this kid that I'm not a reporter." And so Harold spoke to the boy, and I left him with the boy saying, "Well, what you doing here with all that stuff? You know, I mean, what do you mean walking into an AA club with all that stuff?" And, man, hot and cold running paranoia. Deep shit. As if people that you lived around or who knew you or where you were ever a problem that this could possibly be a secret. Except for strange cases like my own. And of course the first 10 years of my drinking, I think I would have qualified as a problem drinker. By that I mean problem to others besides myself. I like to break windows with my fists. Had it developed down to the fine art, you know. John was real good. He liked that because he could show me, and by that means was one of the only ways he got my attention, was that when I drank enough, why he could get loose enough. And if there was enough head of steam going between my mother and me and whatever else was going on in my life, why, I could put my fist through a window, which was a little risky. It was sort of dangerous. Whoops, here comes a jaywalker. Tilt. And you could lose your drafting hand. I was punching it right-handed. That's what I mostly am used to, is using my right hand, because that's what they teach you in school. I'm pretty sure, however, that if I had been in a left-handed society, that I could have done that just as easily. I think I am basically ambidextrous. However, anyhow, onward into the fray. I walked around that mess of people there back at AA. Must have been a big meeting. There would not normally be a whole big, huge bunch of people in that club room, except after one of the regular meetings. Not on a Wednesday night. There would be on a Friday night or a Saturday night. Well, anyway. My head has veered off into various courses that I could take with this little tape that could give you enjoyment and could give me enjoyment. I've got to take my friend's, erase my friend's name on this. Yeah, I'd like to finish up what he said. I'll go back and I'll find the point and I'll figure out how to erase that little teeny bit of tape that gives the man's name. Because that was a confidence. Or was supposed to have been a confidence. Anyhow, I just think it's wonderful. I mean, I laughed, like I told you, I laughed until I almost, until I, oh, I laughed. I know, I didn't cry. I laughed until I got an asthma attack because it was so damn funny. but his follow-up on that was so wonderful, too, that at the time that he did it, that he said that he was shaking his fist to heaven, calling God all these wonderful human-type perversion names that we have for what theoretically is perversion. Totally taboo, unacceptable sexual behavior, however you want to define it, in the culture. Yeah, I think you could say, you could make a metaphysical case for it, that if we are God, not our finite egos, but if the essence of it is God, and if we have happened to have inadvertently been motherfuckers, inadvertent or inadvertently, either one, or cocksuckers, or, you know, all that other good stuff that's a bad no-no. If we are, God is. Except I think that infinite mind, or the mind that I'm in touch with, is completely non-judgmental. What humans have to do to find their sanity or lose their sanity or get back to God or get back to sanity, whatever they have to do, it's okay. It has to be okay because humans have to do it, you know. They have to create a very complicated life for themselves and get themselves all lost from God. God never went anywhere. They did. And end up calling God whatever it is that they happen to be or wish they had been at the moment. I don't, you know, all the above, whatever. But anyway, his bottom line, which had me absolutely ripped, was, the way I figure it is, God's that big, big enough to be in the God business, and this is not a direct quote. I'd like to give him public credit, but I know that would upset him terribly. If he's big enough to be God, you know, I mean, if he can't take it, if he can't take my coming loose at the seams and swearing at him and calling him bad names, well, you know, if it's, if he can't, how's that thing go? And President Truman used it, no, that was the buck stops here. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, that's the one that my friend used. That if God was going to be all upset about these little words from this little puny finite ego down here, you know, if God was going to be upset over that, I mean, he should just plain get out of the God business. You know, well, I agree. You'd be lucky if God heard you in the first place. But then that's a different aspect of God. When I had my big revelation in 1955, which lasted for 6 months, before I let go of it for love of a finite human being. God, what a jerk. What a maroon.